word play has definitely been lost in the 100 words of CrossFit, which is learn a new sport, get out there and play. That notion of how can I actually apply what it is I'm doing inside this box outside of the box is something we talked about many years ago on the original podcast that people are still don't ever address. You talk to majority of people inside the gym, whether it's yoga, CrossFit, Barry's Bootcamp, whatever it is, what do you do for training outside the gym? And they're like, nothing.
Welcome to Barbell Shrugged. I'm Mike Blutzer here with Doug Larson, Anders Varner, and we have our guest today, Roop Sahota. And we actually did a show with you way back in the day.
Many moons ago.
We found you deep in the dark gyms of San Francisco CrossFit.
That's right.
And had a really great first show. So
hoping to repeat.
No, we're not going to repeat anything. Everything's going to be fresh and new. Fresh and new here. Today we're going to be talking a lot about movement. Maybe gut lining, who knows? We're going to talk about stuff that's going to make you better at everything that you want to be better at. Guaranteed, or your money back. So with that being said, we'll go into our sponsors, first of which is Organifi, a really cool supplement company. Greens drinks, protein drinks, everything is plant-based, which I find plant-based supplements are more in line with what I like to do these days, simply because of the digestion is a lot easier than some of the weird things that are happening with the animal-based stuff, especially whey and things like that. Some people are cool with whey, but I know I personally am not.
It's all very health-based as well. I feel like most of the supplement companies in our space are all performance-based, where it's about like just knocking seconds or minutes off your Metcons and gaining strength. And Organifi seems to be much more focused on long-term general health and just feeling good rather than performing better. But health is always the base of performance, and so they both matter and they both contribute to performance. They just attack it from a different angle than a lot of other companies in our space.
That if you're living an optimally healthy life, that you might perform at a higher level. Is that what you're suggesting?
It's not guaranteed.
Not guaranteed. Yeah.
Not guaranteed. Training isn't always healthy.
Yeah. I don't know if it's what's it called when whatever. It's good shit. Go over there. Check it out. They have supplements that I take morning and evening is when I load up on most of that stuff. Green drinks in the morning, stuff to cool off at night and chill out. Oh, Shrugged for 20% off. So go to Organifi.com. Shrugged will get you 20% off any of those products. Check it out. Do it. And then we also have Thrive Market, which is you're shaking your head, Roop. Are you familiar with Thrive
Market? Very much. Use it. And it actually comes as part of the functional medicine team that I'm working with right now. Provides a year of free membership to Thrive.
Nice. Oh, right on.
Yeah.
Shit. Nice.
So there is that.
We'll hear more about that. I want to hear about what deal that is. Mm-hmm. We have our own deal.
Doesn't sound like
nearly as good as the deal you got. We're going to have a talk with the guys over at Thrive Market. No. Yeah. With Thrive Market, you get a lot of super high-quality foods. And if you live somewhere where it's hard to get into a grocery store where you can get high-quality ingredients, I highly suggest getting ThriveMarket.com. Even if you do, I live in a place where, I can get the highest quality food very easily. I can just drive down the street, make it happen. And we still have a membership. I just hop on my app, and I add things like sardines and almond butter to my shopping cart.
They also have auto ship. That way, Anders never runs out of organic, non-GMO, vegan Pop-Tarts.
Right.
My favorite. Every day at breakfast, this guy is nourished.
Yeah.
Yeah, so go over to thrivemarket.com/shrug.
I don't even know where that came from. That was so awesome. Organic, GMO-free, vegan Pop-Tarts.
Yeah, that's the shit.
Send me that link.
Oh, yeah.
That's going to be a thing now. Yeah.
Chocolate.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
chocolate Pop-Tarts.
It's got to be somewhere in there already. Yeah, chocolate. I like that.
I love going to stores and seeing shit
dark
like that.
Dark chocolate. So it's healthier.
Organic gummy bears.
Yeah.
That's how you find
98% cacao.
That's how vegan.
Fat-free gummy bears. All right.
Fat vegans everywhere. It's the Pop-Tarts.
Skinny fat vegans. They're thin, but they're skinny fat. Not all of them.
go over to thrivemarket.com/shrugged. You'll get 30 days free shipping. You get a trial membership and $60 worth of free groceries. So thrivemarket.com/shrugged, and you get that deal. All right, Root. Yeah, what's your deal? are you gonna trump my deal now? Yeah. Like, I don't know how this works.
Functional,
you know, we've
medicine.
Got like competing yeah. deals on one show. You know, you're gonna have to go find Roop wherever he's at and find that deal.
Yeah,
how about that?
I have no affiliation per se. I'm a patient for the company that I'm working with. Not even working with. I'm just a patient. So, for me, as we were talking about pre-show. I've generally for the last 5 or 10 years of my life been tried to be a ridiculously healthy individual, but yet I live in San Francisco, so I'll go out and have a pizza, I'll have a taco, I'll enjoy eating in San Francisco. But 80% of the time, 90% of the time, I eat really, really well. But now in the last couple of years, having a new kid, having a daughter, I've been a little bit more focused on our health. And also, as somebody who's a healthcare provider, I'm a physical therapist, but also a strength and conditioning coach or a movement coach, whatever you want to call it. There's a lot of recommendations I give to individuals based on all the readings that I see on the interwebs. And I thought to myself at the beginning of this year, maybe I will become certified in functional medicine. But before I did that, I decided to go ahead and give it a shot myself. Let me go ahead and get all the tests done, go have a physician take care of me for a little while and see what all the numbers come back with. And that incorporated me doing my own stool sample, doing my own urine sample, taking all these different blood tests, biomarkers, genetic testing. And it came back that I had, even with the last 5 or 10 years of ridiculously taking good care of my health, my gut biome was completely shit. My testosterone was in the tank. My vitamin D was in the tank. My cellular oxidation levels, so cellular stress, how old my cells are respective. I'm 38 years old now, but my cells are probably that of a 70 or 80 year old. Got all this information back, and I'm like, what the fuck do I do with this now? Like, I've been eating as well as I possibly could be, but how am I supposed to take this information in relatively feeling okay? You know, I haven't been sleeping as good as I want to, so that was kind of one of the big impetus or big leading points to get this stuff going. But looking at all this information, I was like, I thought I was as healthy as I can be. And once I now have this information, I'm taking, I think, 12 or 13 different supplements right now on a daily basis. Some are when I'm fasted, some are when I'm not fast. I'm taking the top 7 inflammatory foods out of my diet. So you got your sugar, corn, soy, peanuts, dairy, eggs, gluten. I'm probably missing one in there.
Shellfish.
No, they're fine with me keeping that in there. That's nice. Not one of the top 7.
Damn it.
I'll just be over here fucking myself. Shellfish are cool, guys.
Shellfish is fine.
Sorry.
So I'm doing all this shit, and I'm trying to figure out how much of this is realistic for me to be able to sustain, how much of this is actually going to be something that I can keep doing over the rest of my life. Right now, with all the supplements I was telling you guys earlier, I'm spending about $500 or $600 a month just on supplements, and that is not a sustainable model. That is just... That's bullshit. So I'm trying to figure out how much of this stuff is short-term changes that I can make to heal some of my issues, how much of this is I have to be taking some of these supplements for the rest of my life just based on my genetics. I'm trying to figure out a way, how do I balance this out? And then how do I actually give people advice based on this stuff? Because there's no way that people are going to be able to financially, unless you are somebody who's got really good financial resources available to you, you got the money, are going to be able to do this stuff on a regular basis. But what are the regular dietary, sleep, movement, habit changes that we can make that give people 80 to 90% of this information without the cost associated with it? And in addition to that, who the fuck knows? Even maybe, let's say I would have lived to 90 even without this information. I don't know if this is actually going to change anything. And so that's why is it information that leads me to positive change? Is it information that's not going to really change anything at all for me? Like, I don't know what the end result is going to be. So I'm just playing with it and trying to figure it out. And then what we were talking about has been a heavy conversation on my mind in the last 2-3 months is with all this legalization of marijuana or some other forms of treatment and therapy, are there alternative medicines that you can use, alternative approaches that you can use that would get you 80 to 90% of those same results without having the cost point or even the stress of having to take all these damn pills all day long that are out there? And I'm intrigued to hear from anybody who's got that information and resources available to enlighten me on that.
Yeah, one of the things I've been really focused on recently is how many of these supplements or pharmaceuticals can I cut out of my life?
Yep.
I mean, I know I don't have any pharmaceuticals. And I don't think I've been on any pharmaceuticals outside of a little bit of painkillers after getting my wisdom teeth removed a couple months ago. And I think I took those for about 2 or 3 days. But and then the rest of my pain management was with cannabis and kratom, mm-hmm. Both of which are under scrutiny by the federal government at different times. And what I've really found is, you know, what I've been looking at is, like, what can plants offer us? Mm-hmm. And what can or plants, animals, just natural resources, things that haven't been reduced down to a single thing. Like, a lot of these pharmaceutical companies are trying to, like, create all these crazy extractions that they can then patent and then give to you. And with cannabis specifically, there's a company I really like is Jambo. So you've got a lot of like cannabis companies that are taking just pure CBD mm-hmm. and delivering that. I've actually found like whole plant CBD supplements are actually a lot better because they have more than just CBD in them. They have a lot of the other things, and they're not really well researched yet because, you know, some of this stuff has been banned in the past yep. from being researched. So, you know, with that whole functional medicine optimization conversation, for me is like, okay, what can I find similarly in nature and consume that instead?
Yeah.
And are you taking any adaptogens or adaptogenic herbs or anything like that?
No, the only things I'm taking right now, I can go through the laundry list in my head. I got collagen protein, fish oil. I got a couple of glutagenics, which are for my gut lining. I have vitamin D/K2. I have ashwagandha, which is for my testosterone.
Ashwagandha would be considered an aptogenic herb.
Yeah, so that'd be the only one. The rest are zinc, a couple of different gut probiotics. And those are that's the laundry list right there off the top of my head.
And by the way, ashwagandha
is also most of that stuff. Yeah. Not the adaptogens, but
exactly.
And the ashwagandha is actually in the Organifi green juice.
Okay.
If anyone's paying attention to that, so. But the adaptogens are really good because it helps.
And that was the only one that
organ function.
That was the only one that I didn't need a damn prescription for. Everything else I needed a prescription for, ashwagandha.
Right.
I just jumped online, found the supplier, found the quality one, and was able to start taking it.
Yeah.
I feel like everyone I know that goes and gets blood work is like super into their health. You're not going to get your blood work done unless you're like you want to know what your results are. That way you can optimize for the most part. So we run in pretty healthy circles, and almost everyone I know, especially like guys that are like, you know, 25 to 35, like the guys around right around our age, they get their testosterone checked, and every one of them says what you said. Oh, I have the testosterone of a 75-year-old man.
Yeah.
And I'm always like, if everyone that gets tested has the testosterone of a 75-year-old man, is it really the testosterone of a 75-year-old man at that point? Like, I don't have many 75-year-old men that get their testosterone checked, but so what are their numbers? Are they like, I have the testosterone of a 105-year-old man? They're all pissed off about it, and they're all.
Turns out you're actually just average for 35.
I honestly,
35 sucks.
Yeah. Oh, you got
that's
old.
That's what the guy told me. Have you guys gotten testosterone checked? And had results that were decades older than you?
Which is really surprising. Wow. Which is really surprising for me, at least. I mean, I've CrossFitted for a while. I've been doing movement for many, many years. It's not like I'm not a fit individual who hasn't stressed the body the way they need to. So it was a really shocking results to get that information. But to your point, like, I don't know what they base these baselines off of. And the other thing that's difficult is you jump online, and now there's a lot of testosterone hormone therapies out there that can claim to be, you know, able to help you significantly through this, but that doesn't necessarily mean that it root causes what caused you to have that low testosterone. It's not like you just probably had low testosterone. According to what I've been reading, what I've been working on, it's my leaky gut on top of horrible vitamin D, and vitamin D is a huge precursor to testosterone, that if I don't have that, you can go ahead and supplement all day long you want. You're not going to improve your testosterone until you fix all these other underlying issues. Mm-hmm. So it's always this kind of rat hole or this wormhole that I'm trying to chase, and it's like, how deep can I get before it's too overwhelming to the point where it's not sustainable?
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. it goes into even the stuff we were talking about with movement earlier. It's like everybody is talking about, here's the only way to move, here's the right way to move, here's all the different things that you have to do on a day-to-day basis, where it's like, fuck, I just want to be able to work out and take care of myself. You know, I'm not a competitive athlete, whether it's in the CrossFit community or if it's a high-level athlete, but I want to get that good rush feeling, and I want to do all these things that I know will help me, rather than that kind of stigma that comes with high intensity or even yoga, where people are just so prone to injuries because they're not taking care of all those other variables that they need to at least address once in a while. Call it your daily vitamin, call it your supplementation. What are the other movements or practices they can incorporate without consuming their livelihood that allows them to live their body and live their life the way they want to?
Yeah, I think a lot of training programs, or you walk into a gym and you're working with somebody, it's very narrowly focused.
Yeah.
So even if it's CrossFit, which a lot, like the idea of CrossFit, the thing that drew me in the first place was that it's supposed to be this ultimate GPP.
Yep.
But it's actually pretty narrowly focused, because how many times are you squatting heavy? A lot.
A lot.
And how much of that are you spending just as much time working on your coordination and balance?
Not at all.
Not really.
Yeah.
So, you know, and people can have, like, visual results.
Yep.
Like, they're doing the things that give them the visual results. Like, oh, I'm squatting more, my ass gets bigger. Hell yeah.
Or I'm sweating more.
Yeah, I'm sweating more. Yeah. I'm out of breath. I feel like I'm going to throw up. These are the results that people are looking for a lot of times. How do you get people to slow down and fill in those other gaps?
You know, the funny thing is as with my physical therapy background, I think I've had a lot of – I've been fortunate enough to build up a good client base over the last several years. Having the mentorship of Kelly Starrett and Mobility Wad has helped me learn a tremendous amount. So that has been a huge foot in the door for this, and there's no way I'm ever going to deny that. That has not been a huge help to get me to where I am to have a successful career. But over time, I've been very aware that there's all these other different movement practices out there in the world that have attributes about it that can help fill the gaps with my own personal training. I was somebody who would CrossFit for a year or two nonstop, and then something would ache or pain. But more than likely, it wasn't even the aches or pain. It was more, this is not fun for me anymore. This is not addressing those things that I really want to do, which is get out and play, whether it's with my kid, get out and do the things that I want to do, whether it's go take a dance class, take a samba class, do something else different. Do something else different. So what I started doing is researching other movement practitioners and practice, taking seminars that are outside of the CrossFit world, and start to learn about all these other different movement practices, whether they're based in martial arts, whether they're based in dance, whether they're based in yoga practice, meditation practices. And I started bringing that into my own training platform. And then being in a CrossFit gym where people are always just walking around, people just started watching me move in ways that weren't consistent with what they would classically think it was CrossFit, because it wasn't. I started getting a lot of questions. And then clients started feeding into me when they would show up early and watch me move a little bit, or they'd come into me with goals of, my shoulder's been bugging me for 20 years, no matter what I do. So it's like, all right, let's put the brakes on this, and let's really first talk about what your goals are. There's got to be a purpose to why you train. And if it's purely just the high-intensity stuff, sure, there are really, really simple ways that we can keep the movement complexity really low and still get that heart rate intensity pump out without throwing in some of these more challenging movements that you may not necessarily have the range of motion or coordination to be thrown into, that are going to wear your tissues down a lot faster. So being able to talk to them with that focus point has allowed them to then start believing in some of the stuff I throw at them. And within a session or two, they will quickly realize and find out, these workouts are way harder than CrossFit. They're much more neurologically taxing. They're much more slow tempoed, but they're making me have to think through all these movements, and they are spent after the workouts. So they still get that high intensity feel, but it's a neurological high intensity feel. It's not that sweaty, oh my God, I'm gassed, I'm laying on the ground, but they are mentally exhausted, and they do that enough, and they actually see the other adaptations that you don't necessarily see when you're squatting. They see their balance getting better. They see their coordination get better. They go out and do half marathons, or they do hikes and runs, and everything is getting better because they're able to work on all this stuff and at the same time pretty much injury free. You'll have your freak one or two instances, but for the most part injury free, that a lot of people after about a year or two of doing CrossFit usually leave CrossFit for that reason. It's their nervous system no longer has the recovery. The first two or three years or 1 or 2 years of CrossFit, you just that natural drive and that newness about it keeps you motivated and going. But then after a year or two, you realize, I'm not recovering as well, I'm not sleeping as well, I'm not moving as well as I used to. My body's just wearing down, which training should actually go the other way, where it's you are getting better at everything. And so I've found ways to plug in other movements. And this is not me by any means saying I'm creating anything new or I'm the inventor of this new fitness paradigm. I'm just learning from all these other practitioners who have either through me paying to attend seminars or through me asking their advice have just given me more insight into movement that I've been able to incorporate that into my practice in a way where I feel like now I have a program. Now I have a true balanced GPP where they can actually go out and use this to anything they want to outside of the gym.
Yeah, I find that a lot of people start in this performance metric and then they feel like, well, how am I going to get better at this thing? And it leads to strength and conditioning. And then they're beat to shit. Now I'm going to learn about mobility and stability. And sooner or later through the rabbit hole, you end up getting into your nervous system.
Yep.
And now you've really started to uncover a whole bunch of things that we never really thought about.
Right.
And programs like this, it seems like a lot of this stuff, if we can get people to start at the nervous system and then start to layer things on top of it instead of going backwards, which we all everyone's 25. Yeah. But if we can start with our nervous system, we're going to have a much, much wider, more solid base to this fitness piece. How does somebody start this process? Kind of starting with this movement culture, or, you know, maybe a little bit more flowy movement, yeah, and wiring themselves with positions and shapes before attacking their one rep max back squat.
Yeah, I mean, I think Doug brought up something in the very beginning when we were talking about the functional medicine stuff, where at the end of the day, we're all trying to be healthier individuals, right? Not all of us are trying to be competitive athletes. And if we go in there, go in with that notion and think about every movement as a means of filling in the gaps of our weaknesses, then we can start a conversation where, all right, let's just first, let us be okay with squatting. Let us be okay with doing a thruster. Let us be okay with doing all these other movements. But at the same time, let me throw in some accessory work pieces, yeah, into your training that will make those other movements better. And holy hell, we'll realize pretty quickly that there's a lot of deficiencies, whether it's stability, mobility, coordination. I don't care. At the end of the day, it's movement. If I can get you moving better, addressing some of these other gaps and limitations that are going on in your body, then I feel like you can actually go after some of those other higher level achievements or high level goals that you have, whether it's performance based or whatever it is based.
Yeah.
The program that I've been working on with my buddy Matt lately has been, all right, how do we create a platform where people get this education? I think a lot, for me personally, I've been fortunate enough where I have the means and resources right now to go travel. This goes down to the functional medicine conversation. I have the means and resources to go travel to a couple seminars and learn some information. I have means and resources to go to different CrossFit gyms, jump in, and I can learn from a lot of individuals. The same way with functional medicine, I fortunately have enough resources to be able to pay this much money for all this stuff, but the reality is there's probably just enough that people can get from basic information that they can make a lot of changes. So one of the projects that I'm working on, we've called it Origins, for a lack of a better word, which I think is actually a really good way of phrasing it. It's Origins. It's how do we go and introduce people to simple, small movements that they can incorporate into their workouts, where we're not trying to sit here and redefine fitness and say, this is your new 60-minute workout program. No, that's not my goal. My goal is, let me give you an educational platform, kind of how Andy Galpin talks about on the Body of Knowledge and with his website. It's how do I give you an educational platform where I give you 10 or 15 minute pieces. The videos are going to be short and sweet. They get you to the point, but I'd like you to spend 10 or 15 minutes at the beginning of your workout or at the end of your workout, or as a coach, use this as a warm-up resource. How do I get individuals to have enough knowledge that they can make more well-rounded decisions? Because in a community like CrossFit or in any gym, there's this label that comes with it. CrossFit especially, it comes with the label of, it's all about competition now. It's all about the sport of CrossFit. It's all about the open. It's all about regional. It's all about the games. When in reality, 80 to 90%, maybe even more, that are in there are just everyday people that want to, yeah, live a healthy life. So if we can give educators education on, here are other things that you can, as a gym owner, as a coach, add in that will improve your retention, improve your interaction with your clients, find a way that you can get your clients to be well-rounded without having to feel like I'm going to beat them every single time. Mm. I think we create a platform where people can use this information and have a lot better understanding of movement across the board.
Yeah, I think there's a piece that goes along with this CrossFit thing. Like, you read fitness in 100 words, and there's a lot of things in there,
yeah,
that you will never see in a CrossFit gym.
No.
We aren't working on flips. We're not working on, like, press to handstands on a daily basis. And all of that stuff is the neurological functioning of, like, are you strong? Okay, well, let's get upside down and see if we can actually use this stuff. That piece of it has been lost so much in the competitiveness. And as the sport has grown and the marketing and all of the – but the original tenets of that stuff,
yeah, –
it's really hard to have a conversation about CrossFit because you have to feed people what they want in the gym, and it may not align maybe necessarily with what the gym owner wants to do, and it may not align with the original fitness in 100 words, but it's grown into this thing where people got to make money.
Yeah.
And if you come in and some 45-year-old is, I'm ready to get in shape, I heard this CrossFit thing's going to kick my ass, let's go. Cool, we're going to learn how to do press to handstand. Like, come on, like,
right,
it's not going to work. But there are simple things that people can start to put into their programs, and a lot of it just starts with, let's learn how to crawl properly,
yeah,
or, you know, some of the movement flows really transition well, and it gets into that neurological piece. But how can people start to transition, like, as a skill building exercise to this stuff? Like, where can they start? Where does it lead to, and maybe how does it lead to that performance piece?
Yeah, so the one thing I definitely want to make sure is that by no means, and I don't think anybody's doing this, is by no means am I trying to say that CrossFit is bad for you.
Yeah.
Absolutely not. Yeah. CrossFit has done a tremendous amount to bring fitness to other individuals that just don't like to move very much.
I don't even think people know what fitness in 100 words is anymore.
No.
That doesn't exist.
No,
that's
no,
just
no.
like
yeah,
a
yeah, yeah.
It's on a wall somewhere where, like...
To even go find that PDF, yeah. The original Glassman article, like, oh, man.
If you're post-2010, it doesn't exist, but yeah.
But the reality is there's really no start spot for me. It's movement is, at the end of the day, this is one of the other phrases that I've been using a lot. It's like, I honestly do not believe that there is such a thing as bad movement. There is an understanding that when you're moving a certain way and you do that over and over again and you're not opening up your horizon to other movement, that you will wear down your tissues. But if you're addressing some of these other limitations that aren't allowing you to move the way you want to, you will continually improve and see these adaptations. So when somebody walks into the gym for me, it's like, this is the first time I'm moving with you. Where do I start with all this stuff? I want you to squat. I want you to deadlift. I want you to press. I want you to crawl. I want you to do everything that, first off, that are focused towards your goals. I can sit here and say all day long, hey, when you come and see me, Doug, I want you to do some back bends. I want you to do some back hands. I want you to do a skin the cat and all this stuff. And it's like, well, that's not focused towards my goals. Well, as a coach, that's the stupidest thing you could possibly do, which is I do not put upon my athlete or my client what I want for them. I need to understand what they want. And so they may come at me and say, here are the things that I want. And I'm like, okay, those maybe don't necessarily align with my goals, but I can adapt and be adaptable to what it is that you want to do. And based on that, here, try this movement differently. We're used to squatting with our feet kind of flat on the floor. What if I had you put one foot in front of the other and spin your body? Let's try these other movements and see when you go swing your golf club if that improves things. And if it doesn't, we're learning together and we can continually change these movements and adapt around that. I think it gets very difficult when somebody is very stagnant in their education or their knowledge base, and it's like, this is the only way you can move. You come into a CrossFit gym, you are going to CrossFit. You're going to overhead squat. You're going to thruster. You're going to Fran six times. It's like, okay, there's value to that. There's an understanding of that. But at a certain point, how do we feed in some of these other movements is what we're really going after as a means of getting people this education.
When you start to blur the lines on exactly what has to happen, then you start to get into a lot of things that are along like, hey, we're just out here playing.
Yeah.
And it might be a little bit structured play, but now you start having a little bit more fun. We can color outside the lines a little bit.
Yeah, and I think that's where a good warm-up, I think Kelly Starrett is fantastic at this. He teaches two or three classes at San Francisco CrossFit where it's his performance lab. And at the beginning of every class, he's going to throw you through the randomest warm-up. Now, Kelly has built up a reputation. When you come into his class, you're going to be like, whatever the fuck Kelly says, I'm going to do because I trust this guy. And that is my goal as well, is people have built up that trust where I can throw random stuff at them. And they get done with the warm-up, and they're like, holy hell, these are movements I've never done before. This is not a squat. This is not a deadlift. My heart rate is skyrocketing. I'm sweating like all hell. I am mentally taxed already, and now I got to warm up? It's like, yeah, that's what a warm-up should feel like. And, oh, by the way, the warm-up has all these movements that you would never, ever otherwise do in a CrossFit gym, but yet is real life when you're crossing one foot over the other, you're having somebody resist you, you're holding a one-arm hang, you're holding a kettlebell upside down, whatever it is that gets the neurological system primed and going. Those things can easily be added into a warm-up or a cool-down that is still challenging, focused, and playful. And that's the word play has definitely been lost in the 100 words of CrossFit, which is learn a new sport, get out there and play. That notion of how can I actually apply what it is I'm doing inside this box outside of the box is something we talked about many years ago on the original podcast that people still don't ever address. You talk to the majority of people inside the gym, whether it's yoga, CrossFit, Barry's Bootcamp, whatever it is, what do you do for training outside the gym? And they're like, nothing.
Yeah. I like where you're going with the play bit because I forgot how to play for a long time. You know, I was playing as a kid and then you become an adult and you don't go to the playground and fuck around on monkey bars anymore. You know, everything becomes so serious. And when you go to the gym, it's serious business.
Yep.
There's not really an opportunity to color outside the lines. And if you do, people are like, what's going on over there? Things like dancing and stuff can be a lot like play, but how many people listening to this right now dance?
Oh, shit.
You know, almost nobody.
Yeah.
But they'll definitely go and squat all the time. Mm-hmm. And so I've been on about a 4-year journey of learning how to play again. And I didn't even know that that was a thing until I saw other adults playing. And I go, I'm not comfortable with that.
Yeah.
And there's a level of like comfort of like, what are people going to think of me if they see me fucking around?
Yeah.
And over the years, if you follow my Instagram, you probably notice I do a lot more play.
But that's an interesting point that you bring up because I think it is one thing for the physical adaptation of whether or not your tissues can actually handle that type of play, because we squat a certain way, we deadlift a certain way, but to actually cut – one of the videos that we're shooting for the Origins project is go play tag. Set up a 20 by 20 square, 3 people, 4 people in a square, and you got a Tabata-style play tag. And you can add the CrossFit – notion, you could add the CrossFit nomenclature to it by throwing in the phrase Tabata, but at the end of the day, I want you to be able to quickly turn, cut, tag, play, have a lot of fun. You have your two ends of the spectrum where you have individuals that only play, whether it's they go play, you know, lunchtime hoops, or they go out and just slackline. They do all these things, but have some of the baseline strengths that come from a CrossFit-like program. Or vice versa, you have those people that are CrossFitters that go out there and they still blow their ACLs, or they still have knee issues or ankle issues or head issues because they've just not taken that out here and applied it in a way where they let themselves go. And there is a huge dogma or whatever it is, internal struggle of, hey, I'm very controlled in here. I can be loud. I can be rambunctious. I can throw myself around here. But when I'm outside, I can't play. Like, I can't go play tag and act goofy. And we live in San Francisco, Dolores Park. You see a bunch of crazy motherfuckers doing some shit.
Yeah, but they know how to play.
They know how to play.
They're not messing around in Dolores Park.
They're not sober there.
No.
They're just in the moment.
They know how to play, right? You put them.
We've got a park right down the street. It's awesome. Like, yeah. I wandered down there one Sunday afternoon. I go, how did I not know about this?
Right?
There's like drums everywhere, people tossing frisbees.
If that was walking distance from San Francisco CrossFit, I wouldn't hesitate to take a class and say, all right, our 10-minute warm-up is to go out there and just fuck around, right? Just go play, and then we'll come back in, and then we'll lift heavy weights. Then we'll apply this stuff. But if we're not doing that, what are we doing it for?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, so. The thing I like about play is that there's a lot more reacting during play than there is about everything you do in a CrossFit gym. You do a Metcon, it's like you're going to do this and then that and then that, and there's no, even if you want to set up cones or ladders and do agility drills, quote unquote, it's still not the same as playing a soccer game or a basketball game or playing tag, like you're saying, where you actually have to like figure it out as you go. Like, I didn't know I was going to have to stop quickly and change directions, but now the guy's here and so I got to go this way. Like, there's almost no true agility at all found in almost any CrossFit gym I've ever been in.
There'll be variability from workout to workout because you're doing something different, but variability in your thought process and having to react and think in the moment doesn't exist, right? You can strategize in a CrossFit workout. Am I going to breathe through my nose? Am I going to breathe through my mouth? How am I going to pace these reps out? Like, there's so many different ways you can attack this, but the ability for somebody else to dictate something and you having to react to that doesn't exist.
Yeah, it's like punching a punching bag versus like actually sparring or fighting.
Yeah.
It's not the same thing.
Not at all. Not at all. So
what?
Say what? I thought I was tough.
Oh no!
I hit that bag so hard.
Let's take a break when we come back. I want to talk about your platform.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks for watching the show. If you'd like to learn more about how to improve your snatch, clean, and jerk, we have a free 55-page ebook you can get at flightweightlifting.com. It has sample programming specifically for weightlifting, weightlifting how-to technique videos, and other tips on how to improve all of your lifts. Go to flightweightlifting.com, and you can download that ebook for free.
Download it now.
And we're back with Roop talking about
everything.
Man, we had a really good session in between the break. I think, Colton, did you get that? Yeah, we got all that.
Oh, nice.
Oh, yeah. We're talking about, I don't even know what category we would place that conversation.
I think it's the category of too much information.
Oh, yeah. Talking about processing too much information.
Too much information, right? You listen to all these different podcasts, whether it's movement experts, dietary health coaches, financial advisors with a Bitcoin conversation. It's like, how am I supposed to take all this information in and be able to actually execute something on it? And that's ridiculously hard. Like, how
one,
do you know?
One trusted resource. It's right here.
Right? It's like, all right.
We know everything.
Everything. Everything.
Just trust us. It'll work.
Didn't you
out.
Read a book recently? Principles? Is that you?
I have not read that whole book yet. I got multiple books for Christmas, and I'm working through a couple of them.
Creeping on your Instagram.
That's all. Yeah. Dude, I really want to read that book. I flipped through it, Ray Dalio's book. It looks fantastic. I just haven't gotten to it yet.
If you listen to enough of it, sooner or later, they're always talking about the things.
Yeah.
If you can just find the principles that align all of it together, that's kind of the
strange.
You let it all wash over you, and then you kind of start to get it. Maybe. I don't know.
You got to see the patterns.
Yeah.
Yeah. Geometric patterns.
did you just get nervous to say the first words that came to your mouth?
All these years, still not
nervous,
comfortable
but
with
I did
silence.
Just say what came to my mind, yeah.
All right, so before the break, we said we were going to talk about the new program you got going on. What's the story? You got a platform now?
Yeah, the platform, the Origins Project. And I think one of the offline conversations we were just having is one of the realizations I came to is early on when I started working with MobilityWatt, and I'm still part of the MobilityWatt team, which I love, is there was an ego that existed pretty substantially inside of me. And whether I liked to claim it or not at that point, I would go around teaching seminars, you know, once every 2 weeks for 2 or 3 years straight. So I was on the seminar routine fast, hard. I would go out there and listen to people complain about their aches and pains and be like, I got the fucking answer for you. I know exactly what's going to fix your shoulder. You're not the special little butterfly you say you are. This is the solution for your shoulder, regardless of what's going on. And over the years, it didn't work for everybody. It did not work at all. And using CrossFit in that instance as my model to base a lot of the movements off of worked for some, and it didn't work for others. And so I went through this huge transition, huge transformation over the last couple of years, where I decided to go out and be the student. I decided to go out there and figure out, do I actually know my stuff, or am I just talking a game because I feel really strong about this one game, this one avenue of information? And I came to the quick realization that it's not the case. I went out and I've taken courses with Ido Portales people. I've read more online movement content than I could possibly process, whether it's Gymnastics Bodies, Katie Bowman, reading some of all these old movement Dragon Door podcasts or websites, going to Fighting Monkey seminars, like all these different movements, going out and taking a dance class, just trying all these different avenues that have made me realize I don't know anything. And that level of vulnerability, which we were talking about, is a hard business model to build something off of. To go out to work with somebody and say, hey, you're going to pay me to help me fix you, but I'm going to experiment and try some things that, based on the information that I currently have right now, I think is going to be the best answer for you. But the reality is, it may or may not work. That's very different than sitting here and saying, your shoulder, it's not unique. I know how to fix it. I don't care how many years of gymnastics or BJJ you've been doing, here's your answer regardless. And to make that realization in the online world has been negatively impacting me from a, how many users do I have? I'm not the person on there that's got 400,000 followers on Instagram, because I don't put up the same videos or different videos of, here's how you treat shoulder injuries, here's how you treat low back injuries, because everybody is truly unique. And there are movement practices out there that have a lot of information that I have learned from. And with this Origins project, my goal is to just provide that information out there. I think everybody should have the capacity of learning more about their body, and not everybody has the capacity of training with somebody for 6 or 8 hours a day. Not everybody has the financial resources to pay for all these online packages. So one of the big things is, everyone's been pushing me hard to start putting this information online. And one of the big, big foundational bricks that I've stood on this whole entire time was, I will never charge anybody for this information. Whether I go out in the future and do some online coaching or seminars, that's another conversation, but it's not my focus. But this is about me giving back after all these years of learning myself. And this has been something that's been in my head for 10 or 15 years. And my wife and I have talked about it many times. She says, anytime I walk around the city, I see somebody in some pain, I'm like, I want to help that person. I want to provide that information. And a lot of times my wife is like, you shouldn't feel bad for that person, because there's nothing in that person that's looking at you and saying, feel bad for me. But there was some part of me that I was always like, I can give back in some way, shape, or form. So I'm reading the book Essentialism right now, and it talks about what is it that you do really well? What is it that you enjoy doing? And what is it that you can make the biggest impact with? And every time I've read those three statements, I'm paraphrasing, but every time I've read those three statements, it's always come back to artistic, creative movement as a means of building a healthy body, but it needs to be given to people in a free resource manner. And so the Origins project has been, you'll look at some of these videos that we're shooting and putting out there, and you'll look at them and be like, well, this is a really stupid thing to do. You want me to stand on a PVC pipe with one leg for 5 or 10 minutes and play with that? Like, why am I doing that? But my only hope is, if I give you some information on simple things that you can do on a day-to-day basis without asking you to spend 6 hours or even an extra 3 hours or 2 hours or 1 hour in the gym, this is just supplementary information that gets additive to your current workout program, then I feel like I can give people more knowledge. And if I give people knowledge, to our conversation earlier about, I'm listening to all these podcasts, what do I do with them? I hope that they will look at this information and say, I'm going to use some of this, maybe not all of it, maybe none of it, but I'm informed enough to make that decision myself. And that is the sole intent of this project, is give people simple things. Let's say in the example of CrossFit, you have 10 domains of fitness, and CrossFit really, in my opinion, only goes after speed, strength, endurance, cardiovascular, but balance, agility, coordination, all these other buckets are being missed. And the conversation we were having earlier, it's hard for a coach to program that when you have this competitive nature business where people come in wanting that high intensity. But if I can give them these simple videos, people will then jump on, see a video that comes out once a week. The project will probably launch fully in the next couple of weeks. You get one video. The video tells you, hey, here's a 3 or 5 minute video. Here's something simple I want you to practice over the next week. My goal is not to dump at you video every single day with all these complex movements, give you one movement a week, and then throughout the week may throw in some supplementary prep stuff to help you stay protected from some of these more challenging movements. How do I just give – the goal is to give people that information where they can just add it into their programming. Some of it will be fun. Some of it will play. Some of it will be neurologically taxing. Some of it will be strength-based. But it will address a lot of the existing gaps that I found in my own knowledge-based movement practice that I feel like if I can give to other people, it only helps.
I think we've gotten to a point in fitness, or we'll call it fitness. I don't know if there's a single place you can put a lacrosse ball that hasn't been put on Instagram.
Yeah.
Or a way that you can wrap a band. You wrap a band around your neck sometimes.
Don't tell people that.
To
you
work
actually
on
just said that on a recent podcast, though.
Asphyxiation's a part of mobility.
I don't like talking about that because I'm afraid someone's actually going to go
don't
do
try
it.
That at home.
Like,
oh,
no,
yeah,
that
yeah.
Guy. Don't do that.
No, definitely
don't
do it fast. But
have a spotter.
Like,
I think that there's the next step in all of it is not handing people these solutions of like, go sit on this lacrosse ball, 2 minutes, floss your leg inside out, and you're done. Like, we can go find that anywhere now. Yeah. But what you can't do is give somebody the experience of thinking for themselves. Yeah. And it sounds like a lot of these projects the Origins Project is, here's something you can do, and it's going to challenge you in a way you've never thought about fitness. And it's going to carry over into this kind of neurological capacity where you actually have to think. It's not, hey, go do 5 back squats. Go stretch this thing. Go bend over, touch your toes. But how are you responding to standing on a PVC pipe? That's
yeah.
Weird.
Yeah, exactly. And it's not necessarily saying there's anything wrong with squatting 5 reps.
No.
At all. Right? But it's, can you stand on a PVC pipe? See what that input feels like to you. And if you're going to feel completely uncomfortable with it, it's probably going to remind you what it felt like to be CrossFitting for day one, right? It's, yeah. it's that notion of bringing CrossFit back to its roots of, is it truly a GPP, right? If I'm doing yoga my whole entire life, am I really getting the strength-based? I'm getting a huge flexibility. I'm getting a huge maybe agility and coordination balance type of focus, but am I getting strength work? Am I getting cardiovascular work? No. So how do I add these supplementary pieces in that allow me to feel like nobody's reinventing the wheel, nobody's coming up with a new fitness program, but just filling in the gaps that exist so I can truly do what I want to do, which is live a long, healthy life. And that is all Origins is about.
Earlier, you were giving us some practical examples of what you're talking about. You were showing us kind of a lower body hip flow and then more of like an upper body centric flow. Like, why do you structure those as a flow? Is there a benefit there?
My whole thing with regard to movement is it needs to be movement, right? If I'm doing a bunch of static stuff, I don't see anything wrong.
That's a revolutionary right? comment.
It's I don't see anything wrong with static stuff, holding a static stretch, but if I'm warming somebody up and getting somebody moving, then I want their body to be challenged in corners and positions, but I don't want them to spend enough time there to really be able to relax into it. I want them constantly hitting different shapes and different patterns. Because what they're going to realize quickly is it's easy to get into one shape and then just be there, whether they're holding their breath or not holding their breath or having control or not having control. But for them to just introduce that shape and before their system has a time to adapt to it, shift to another position has been something for me that has challenged them neurologically in a way that they otherwise wouldn't get. It's the same thing we were talking about with like the breathing. Lately, I've been practicing a lot of nasal breathing. So I'll have athletes come in and I'll say, all right, this entire workout is completely done with your mouth closed, only breathing through your nose. And that is a complete mind F for these individuals because they just realize that their body is not efficient at releasing oxygen to the system and they just don't know how to deal with that freak out moment. So giving people simple things that can add in that is very movement centric rather than just static. And again, there's nothing wrong with static. Even the static stuff that I do myself as well as the people that I work out with, even the static stuff we do, we add in a neurological piece into it where we're contracting and relaxing, we're breathing, we're adding a load to the position. We want the body to always be thinking rather than sleeping, except for when we want it to sleep. That's another thing. This is another thing that I picked up from the Fighting Monkeys seminar that I was at recently, which is going to be in a couple of the videos that we shot. We would be out here in San Diego and just every day move for 8 hours, just sweating our asses off, nothing with barbells or anything. It was very dance and, you know, footwork, boxing background type of work. At the very end of the day, he would have us just get into a position. And one of the days, he had us stand tall, hands by our side, got us, you know, coordinated a little bit, weight 60 to 40, boom, boom, boom. And then he's like, all right, close your eyes. 30 minutes later, he's like, all right, now you can open your eyes. I was like, what the fuck just happened? Like, the last time somebody just asked me to stand still, regardless of what's happening around me, and trust that the environment is safe enough for me to just be here still, has been a thing that I've incorporated into my own routine as well as will be in the Origins Origins program, which is certain day movement can also be static, right? Certain days movement can be intricate. Certain days movement can be loaded. Certain days movement can be loud, quiet. Certain days movement can be with maces. Certain days movement can be with lacrosse balls. There's no real right answer, except for there is an exploration of ideas and trying to figure out different routines and getting our body to always be thinking is the real big end goal for this stuff.
So is this just basically what you showed us? You have people flow kind of routines to be done every day, like you were saying, or is there a strength training component
what
to
you,
it?
What you guys saw, what we did in the early part before the podcast started was just what I would do for a warm-up type of ping. But after that, it'd be, all right, I'm going to train you really, really hard today, whether it's regular squats, whether it's lateral lunge squats, whether it's split squats, whether it's hanging from a pull-up bar, whether it's, hey, we have a monkey bar, and I want you to be able to swing across. I want you to let go of the monkey bars with one arm and see what your body does. Every day is going to be slightly different depending on the goals. And at the end of the session, I'm going to give them something neurologically taxing, whether it's single leg balancing, whether it's eyes closed standing still, whether it's kneeling on the floor. This is the hard part of the Origins project. There really is no right answer to structure. Like, there is no structure to this. It's just, how do I give people different ideas to make different decisions or more educated decisions? So they're really that lack of structure. There will be videos that come out every single day that give them some basic things, like maybe just moving my wrist around in circles or my knee around in circles just to protect the body, because some of these shapes may be really challenging. But for the most part, every video is going to be slightly different that gives them a different challenge.
And if someone has any injuries, is there any way to for them to work around those injuries, like with separate videos, or do they have access to contact you as a consultant or as a coach? Or
yeah, they absolutely do have I think one of the things I truly, truly respect about what you just said on the recent Body of Knowledge podcast was, if somebody pings you on Instagram, you're going to call them back, mm-hmm. right? You're going to reach out to them. So if in this process of me putting information out there, there are people that are like, this is actually causing my knees to be a little tweaky. My question would be for them is, okay, so let's think about why it's causing you to be tweaky. Is it just because it's a new stress? Is it like doing a heavy thruster all over again that you've never done? Your body's just adapting to it? Or is it truly something structural is off that we have to address? My information is always on there, and I try my best within a few days of responding back to everybody's comments, everybody's emails, everybody's phone calls. Like, I'm willing to put myself out there to say, hey, if this isn't working for you, then I need to learn what it is about it that you not necessarily you're missing, but that I'm missing in my education to you to make sure that you feel like you have the ability to do everything safely.
You mentioned some of the stuff is going to be for coaches. How are they able to implement this into maybe a group class structure? Is it personal training structure?
No, group. I think group personal training and group classes. I think some of the videos are going to be very play-centric. One of the things that we recently shot was plank wars. So at the end of every workout session, somebody's going to want some sort of ab core work as well as something that gets them, you know, sweaty and fun and play.
Always the abs.
Right? It's
everyone
always the abs.
Wants the
everyone
abs.
Wants abs and everyone wants to play at the end of workout. So we go face off. We'll do a plank face to face. We're about a foot away, and then it's a game of tag. You're not allowed to move your feet, and your goal is in 30 seconds to make the most amount of contact to the other person. So there are simple things. Boom. Simple things that people can add into
lights
their
out.
Workouts. Warm-ups, the hip flow that you saw me do earlier. There's some broad jump stuff. There's a lot of different videos that we're putting together right now where I think a coach can easily look at this and say, I can easily get everybody to have a light kettlebell and we can practice this stuff. I can get easily everybody to have a PVC pipe and we can practice this stuff. One of the bigger goals with this is to make it the lowest barrier of entry. I don't want you to have to be out in a park looking for jungle gyms, looking for all these. That's why when we did some of the single leg balancing stuff, we didn't go to rails. We didn't go to like parkour courses and just sit here and be like, you have to be here. Let's figure out what equipment you have readily accessible to you so you can do this stuff with really no excuse.
No excuses, folks.
No excuses.
Right.
Yeah. Where's this? Where do we find this platform?
Origins. Originsmovement.co. I just learned about that myself.
There's no .coms left.
No, there are no .coms left. Right?
Originsmovement.co.
I actually have to tell you, it's a secret. I scored a .com recently that was shocked. Wasn't taken. Shocked.
All right.
But I won't release it here. Maybe I should.
Coming in an online course near you.
I mean, there's
maybe someone wants to buy it from you for way too much money.
Yeah.
I mean, you had a whole other revelation earlier today. I mean, it's a day full of surprises.
Yeah, that's just every day.
It's a day of discovery.
It's mostly ideas. Very little action on this side. Where can people find more about what you got going on in
Everything
general?
I do, Rup Sahota. So Jagrup Sahota, J-A-G-R. OOP Sahota. We can put that in the notes because it's too long to spell. At gmail.com. That's my personal email, Roop at San Francisco CrossFit. Instagram at Roop Sahota is my primary method of communication on social media. I'm on Facebook, Roop Sahota. All the information is out there, and I want this to be a really, really open platform where people feel free to give me as much input, whether they think all the material is BS and not worth their time, or they think it's valuable and a ton of their time, and we will modify and go. Again, this will never be something that I will on this platform charge people for, and I'm going to put that out there right here, right now. And I just want people to feel like they have a better, a different resource for education on movement that doesn't require much out of them other than trying.
Yeah. I look forward to it. I'm going to be traveling a lot soon. So I'll be looking at creative ways to do things.
Yeah, absolutely.
Awesome.
We'll have a guest blog from you out in like a mountain somewhere doing some flow.
Probably. Top of a mountain for sure.
Right?
Yeah. Anders, what do you got going on?
Come to movement-rx.com. Dr. Teresa Larson and I are combining some strength training, PT practices, assessments, breathing, down regulation, mobility, stability, gym owners, functional fitness athletes, dealing with shoulder, low back, and knee pain, and getting people healthy. So movement-rx.com.
Douglas.
Yeah. You can go to douglarsonfitness.com to get my thoughts on movement and training, as well as there's opportunities on there to work with me, to come to my seminars, etc. So you can go to douglarsonfitness.com. Also, you can catch me on Instagram at Douglas E. Larson.
Dope.
You bet.
And I've got another show and fun stuff happening all the time. Some live events. Just go over to thebledsoeshow.com, and you'll be able to check all that out. Roop, is there anything else
No.
you want to say?
No. Let's
repeat that website again. Can you remember it?
Yeah. No. Originsmovement.co.
Yeah, make sure you go over there. And if you like the show, which we know you did, go over to iTunes, 5-star review, positive comment, head over to YouTube, subscribe, all that, and we'll see you next week.
Thanks for making it all the way to the end of the show. If you like the show, which I know you did, please go share it on Facebook, Instagram, or whatever social media channel you happen to be loving at the moment. Pinterest, Twitter,
Tumblr.
Share it on Tumblr.
Next on Barbell Shrug, we have the most enlightening interview of our lives with Mr. Paul Chek.
Yeah, baby.